you know, a lot of these you've had stop starts and on them, and some of them have been upgraded and will continue to be upgraded for a long time into the future. But the fact that the work's being done on the moment doesn't mean to say that they're still not an absolute priority. And what we have done is identified a whole range of infrastructure requirements that are critical to the long-term development of Northern Australia. Now, of course, the Bruce and the Stuart highways are no-brainers. I mean, they're lifeblood into those areas.
And the recommendation is to seal and flood-proof them to tolerate the inclement seasonal weather.
Work's being done on that. But, I mean, the Heine Highway was another one which is an alternative to the Bruce, and it's going to save a hell of a lot of time.
To link Cairns with Melbourne.
Linking the Atherton Tablelands with Melbourne, which means that it can feed off at any point down the eastern seaboard. But we're focusing primarily from Rockhampton north, and it also allows freight, an alternate route for freight, and something that is available for 365 days of the year. Now, it's compared to the cost of the Bruce Highway, it's a relatively small investment, and it's something that could be realised very much quicker. So that while work will continue for decades on the Bruce Highway, this is something that could be done relatively quick, and we can capture it.
What about the Tanami Road linking the Kimberley with South Australia?
Again, and through the Northern Territory. This was identified as a pivotal road, and that, of course, goes right through from the East Kimberleys right through, and it links communities and it links opportunities both in the mining and the pastoral and other opportunities that are there. Again, it's seen. And the other one, of course, is the Peninsula Development Road. Again, work is being done on that, but we are recommending that it goes to the tip.
Up to the Cape York tip.
Yeah, and there's a specific reason for that, because at the moment, throughout the Torres Strait and all that, there's a huge cost in relation to freight and a cost of fuel. And the view of the committee is that for that couple of 100 kilometres of sealing, we can then be looking at and the wharf, the work that's being done on the Sasha Wharf, you can look at fuel storage and coal storage there. You can have road transport 365 days of the year, and have Sasha as a base for distribution of various products and fuel. What that will do, that road transport's about a third of the cost of sea freight, so you'll see a very significant reduction in freight costs for those remote areas. And so that was taken into consideration as well. And of course,
you've also recommended, can I move on, but you've also recommended the dams and weirs. Now, this is interesting because it has been in 2009 dismissed that you couldn't massively expand agriculture. So how is this different to reports before?
The 2009 report was set with the condition was that no water storage could be considered. So that report, I was a member of the Land and Water, Northern Australian Land and Water Task Force. As soon as you took water out of the, which was removed when there was a change in government, as soon as water came out of the equation, the opportunities were basically lost.
So you're saying that water can be safely stored without damaging the ecosystem, without trade-offs to tourism?
Absolutely. There are opportunities there. I mean, there are limited opportunities. The CSIRO have come out quite clearly and said most of the opportunity, the majority of the opportunities in relation to agriculture are going to come out of aquifers, and that's reflected in the fact that we have recommended that the ongoing capping of the artesian system to make sure that we conserve that water and that it is targeted in areas where there is opportunities for agricultural other uses, but only to use it for the amount that's needed rather than allow it to be squandered by just millions and millions and millions of megalitres.
So these main water weirs or dams are recommended for Queensland rivers. So it's the Flinders River, the Yarana Dam, Elliot Main Channel, Nalinga Dam, Eden, Ban and Rookwood weirs Fitzroy River.
If you read the recommendation, it says the committee recommends that the Australian government give priority to the development and funding of water resource proposals that have been scientifically identified as being sustainable and with the strongest cost-benefit case and consistent with the national water policy. Projects to be considered could include. So we've identified some that we think that could be included in this, but at the end of the day, they need to go through a cost-benefit analysis. We've made that recommendation all the way through in relation to all of our infrastructure priorities.
Okay, but would they be taxpayer funded or would these be supporting private business developments like we're seeing with the proposal?
It could be one or the other or a combination of both. And there are proposals there in some of these for private. Others may well. The Nalinga Dam, for example, I understand that there is some private interest there, but when you have a look at there's a triple opportunity there. In the first instance, it will certainly expand agricultural opportunities that already exist. It will also capture a significant amount of water that will allow for the growth of Cairns, the population growth in Cairns, so it'll give it a good, stable, reliable water source. And it will also provide a significant increase in the amount of water that can be used for base station generation through the existing hydro system that's there, because the water coming into Cairns will have to flow over the Barron Falls, where there is already a hydro plant in existence, and so it provides an opportunity of more hydro power as well.